Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 39. Mr. President, I have Mrs. Van Flandern on the phone. The ships are beginning their attack, said the Master Chief. Thank you, Chief. Ask her to alert us of any changes, said Riker. It has begun, said Hadid, standing against the door jamb of the President's lower vault under Site R. Let's get out of here, Hadid, said Riker. Mr. President, I would advise against, began Hadid. I know the advice, Hadid. Let's go have a coffee at Bailey's, said Riker, standing now to move past Hadid to the hallway leading to the elevator. Yes, Mr. President, said Hadid, falling in step behind him down the wide hallway. If they just started moving, and they have about 12,000 miles to reach our atmosphere, it won't take much over an hour for the darn things to explode, said Riker. Hadid pushed the vault door open and listened for the locking system to engage. He pushed the button for the elevator, and the two men waited for the elevator to make the long plunge to their deep location. You're a good man, Hadid, said Riker. I was about to say the same thing about you, Mr. President, said Hadid, extending his hand. Riker shook his hand firmly as the elevator door opened. The two men entered, as though leaving the vault for the last time. They looked at the steel door, and each of them smiled. You don't really want to be the last man alive, do you? Asked Riker. Since my father taught me the ways of our fathers, I have only wished to be there when the one who was foreseen would come to power. I have already fulfilled my life's dream, said Hadid. If I'm that one you have been waiting for, then I am humbled to the dust, said Riker. Your humility makes the gift even more precious, Mr. President, said Hadid as the elevator doors opened on the ground floor of Building E. I know it's an odd time, Chef Bailey, but I was wondering if we could just have a coffee and visit for a while, said Lorraine. Oh, you must have read my mind, my dear, said the chef, kissing her cheek more softly than usual. I would be delighted to make a pot. Would you like some scones? I can, he began. No, no, that's all right. You don't need to cook anything, just the coffee, and some conversation would be splendid, said Lorraine. You know, this machine is probably 30 years old, but you know the government, nothing but the best. It'll take a few minutes to brew. I just ground a special blend I'm experimenting with. I think you'll like it, said the chef. Everything you touch is divine in nature, Chef Bailey. I truly mean that, said Lorraine, sitting in the clean white chair and scooting it up to the small table in his kitchen. He pulled the white hand towel from under his waistband of his apron and laid it, for the first time she could remember, on the shiny stainless steel counter. He sat down close to her. He laid his skillful hands on the table and she clasped hers around his. I am blessed to do what I do with food. It makes people happy, which makes me happy. But your appreciation is a gift beyond that of anyone I have ever known, said Chef Bailey with his calm voice. One of my greatest pleasures of being on this planet is to experience what one person can do with flour and sugar and the highest of divine talent. You have a gift that can only come from God himself, said Lorraine. I have found great satisfaction in what I do. I mean, everyone wants to have a great meal, right? But you seem to see a greater spiritual value in the details of mixing ingredients. I just want to thank you for being who you are, said the chef. Oh, my dear chef, you grasp more of mortality than you know. Your wife is waiting for you, and she sees us now. She sees the great love we have for the same thing, that is your desire, to make the simple act of eating an extraordinary experience. I am humbled to have shared in that experience, said Lorraine, gently releasing his hands and rubbing hers together like lotion softening the skin. I don't know about mortality, and for sure less about this spiritual value that you're talking about. I'm just a chef, said Bailey, scooting back his chair and walking over to the bun coffee maker that was chugging the finality of the brewing process. I have traveled the world and studied the origin of its very roots. I can tell you that you know more than you realize. Thank you for creating the best kind of pleasure in this time, in this place, said Lorraine. I think you'll like this. I've been playing with the sacks of coffee beans they stock down here. This grind is special, strong and yet gentle enough to be sipped black. Tell me what you think, said the chef, pouring the two white cups full on the table. Oh, this is the way coffee's supposed to be sipped, said Lorraine with a mild tone of ecstasy. The bean is at its truest taste, said Bailey. Hey, guys, said Dick, walking into the kitchen. Oh, it just gets better and better. Welcome, my friends, said Chef Bailey as Katie, Kyle, and Donna followed Dick into the kitchen. Are you kidding? There's no finer dessert anywhere on the planet, said Donna. I smelled the coffee from the street, said Kyle. Do you have anything yummy in that oven? Asked Katie, laughing out loud and rubbing her rounding belly. That's what I love to hear, said Chef Bailey, snapping his towel back under his belt. He stood up from his chair and walked over to the bins by the counter and began scooping ingredients in. No way. We're going to see how the magic is done? Asked Katie innocently. I think I can trust you with the secret. Do any of you like apple turnovers? Asked the chef, spreading flour onto the stainless steel counter. I'll get the apples. Where's the pantry? Asked Lorraine. Walk to the back and look to the right. It's a rather large pantry, but the canned fruit is down on the right. Bring a number 10 can of apples and heavy syrup. Kyle, you're the tallest. Reach up there and get that cinnamon, said the chef. What else do you need? Asked Donna. Well, we use powdered eggs and powdered milk. There should be an open box of each inside the walk-in refrigerator on the right. It keeps it fresh longer, said the chef. Yuck! Powdered milk? Commented Donna. You've been drinking it for months, my dear. We use Western Family. It's the finest milk solid in the world, I think. Properly mixed and chilled, you could not tell the difference. But in a pastry, it's divine. Set that oven down there at 350. Let's dump all this into the steel bowl and add some filtered water, said the chef, stirring and spinning the bowl to combine everything. Here are the apples. You call that a pantry? It's a warehouse back there, said Lorraine. We have to be able to feed 3,000 people for 3 years, my dear. I stocked enough food down there to do the job with room to spare. Okay, Dick, you can hook this bowl into the Hobart there. And make sure it's clamped in place with these latches. That's perfect. Okay, flip the switch, said the chef. The A200 whirred to life and began mixing the dough around the bowl. The chef set up the brewer to make sure a pot of decaffeinated coffee from beans washed in seltzer water. He washed the flour and powdered egg and milk from his hands in the hand sink and wiped them dry on his hand towel. Fancy seeing you here, came the deep voice from behind Riker and Hadid. Rhino, good to see you. We were just going up to Bailey's kitchen for some coffee and whatever else we can get into. Join us, asked Riker. I suppose I could make the time, said Rhino, smiling broadly. Lisa wrapped her arms around his large bicep and smiled at Riker as well. I was just talking about Shelley's broadcast this evening. I suppose I should be frightened, but I'm not. It's hard to explain, said Lisa, as she and Rhino started walking with Riker and Hadid. It's very nice to see you out and about, Mr. President. We have some exciting things to show you, if you have time, said Rhino. I was wondering about that energy technology. Agent Smith tells me you and Kyle are working on it every day, said Riker, as he forced himself to look up from the ground in front of him. That boy never quits. We have a whole lot of trials and not many errors. It may not be enough to power a grid, but these devices can power a single location. You know, like a house or a building, said Rhino as he opened the lobby door of Building A for everyone. That sounds interesting. So we're talking about a world with no power lines, asked Riker. Exactly, said Rhino. Well, that will certainly cramp the style of the global energy brokers, chuckled Riker. Are there really any of those around anymore? Asked Lisa. I think the whole concept of forcing society to live along the power lines is going astray, said Rhino. You mean cities? How will people make communities? Asked Lisa. I think you can still have cities, just because people like living and working together, but the ability to light and heat your home will just be the cost of equipment and maintenance. We just won't be paying for kilowatts anymore, said Rhino. Sounds like a bright idea to me, said Riker, stopping in front of the elevator. Hadid, could you contact Agent Smith and tell him to come up to Chef Bailey's, and tell him to bring Agent Jones, and don't forget Bet and the Professor. Yes, Mr. President, I'll be only a moment, said Hadid as he stepped over to the wall phone hanging in the hallway by the elevator. He turned his back to the small group and dialed Smith's number. By the time the elevator opened, Hadid was standing beside them again. That was fast, said Riker. Delegation, said Hadid, smiling slightly as they stepped into the elevator and let the doors close. Wow, that smells so good, said Donna. Pavlovian, said Dick and Kyle at the same time. I get two of them, you know, said Katie, pointing to her belly. The room laughed and Dick clapped his hands. I thought I smelled cinnamon, said Rhino as the group walked into the kitchen. Oh, there goes seconds, said Dick, slapping his right hand into Rhino's palm. You the man, Mr. Daring, said Rhino. Oh, Lisa, it's good to see you, said Katie, hugging her tightly. Welcome, Mr. President. Some decaf? Asked the chef. I'll have a cup from the fullest pot. Thanks, said Riker. Hadid, you and me have to party sometime, said Dick. Isn't that what we're doing? Asked Hadid, shaking Dick's hand. Yeah, whatever. You're such a sleeper, said Dick. Hadid raised one eyebrow and tilted his head. It means you have a rat motor behind that thin black tie, dude, said Kyle, smiling. Thanks for clearing that up, little brother, said Dick. It is so good to see you, Bob. Mr. President, said Lorraine, reaching to shake his hand. Tonight, Bob is fine, said Riker, softly, and taking a sip from his barely shaking coffee mug as he held her right hand in his. It's begun, hasn't it? Said Lorraine gracefully, sliding her hand from his. I wanted to be here with you all, here, tonight, like this, said Riker. Lorraine moved within inches of him and looked up into his eyes. The blue-green of her eyes was wide open now, the lines in her face smoothed as she emanated calmness. They both noticed the sound of the oven fan, and it seemed like everyone in the room had stopped breathing. The second hand on the large government clock seeped its way around its white face. He could smell her breath and feel the heat from her thick auburn curls. We are source, Bob. There's nothing to fear, said Lorraine with her lips forming the words almost without sound. She slipped her left foot back a few inches and shifted her weight to it, and moved her eyes to the chef. He was staring back at her like they waited for a tidal wave to swallow all of them. He smiled barely half as broadly, and Katie put her hand on Lorraine's shoulder. Rhino put his hand on Riker's shoulder. Hadid put his hand on Rhino's arm along with Lisa. One by one they moved quietly forward and placed their hands on one another, all leading to President Riker. Without a sound, the room suddenly changed. Secret Service Agent Smith entered the room along with Bette and Loretta. Agent Jones came in behind with them. Quietly and seamlessly, they each added their hands to the group, keeping Riker in the center. They looked at one another slowly and moved closer to the center. The lights flickered once, and then again. And then the room went dark. The fan slowed to a stop, and there was only the smell of coffee and cinnamon and the darkness.